The general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays is Alex Anthopoulos, and Alex Anthopoulos joins Kevin Barker and myself in Baseball Central. Alex, thanks so much for doing this morning.
Glad to be on, guys.
All right, let's deal with the topic of there's an article, a column in the Toronto Sun today that got a lot of people talking. I kind of avoided talking about it until I got a little more information on it. But the sense is that, I'll tell you that you and Paul Beeston met at length on Monday morning to exchange views, assess the club top to bottom. It makes it sound like it was a crisis meeting. It makes it sound as if the continued employment of John Gibbons and pitching coach Pete Walker was the topic of conversation. And there's also a mention of Edwin Encarnacion being benched on the weekend, which I was under the impression that was a matchup thing. But Alex, I want you to respond to it if you could.
Sure. I saw the article in the Sun this morning. It was brought to my attention. And look, in fairness to the Sun and a lot of guys that are there, they do a very good job overall. And when they get their information, they're normally from very good sources, very credible. So I do have all the respect in the world, and I don't take it lightly at all, and I don't doubt that when things are written, that they're not made up. They're coming from sources that are well-placed and trusted and so on. Now, that being said, I can tell you that there was no meeting yet yesterday morning in Toronto. I got back from the road trip. I hadn't seen my kids in about a little over a week. They were up at my in-law's house up north, so I waited for them to come back in the morning. So I didn't get in until just before the game. So I hadn't seen my daughter and my son in forever. So I was actually at home in the morning, and we had gotten home late. So there was no meeting at all. But I can't look, at the same time, in fairness overall, look, Paul and I talk all the time. When we're on the road, I talk to him daily, multiple times a day. We're always talking about team, players, everything, ways to get better, especially when we're not playing well. So all that's fair. And the other component, too, is I respect and appreciate the fact that could we have the road trip that we just had, the team's not playing well, this is the stuff that's going to happen. It's part of sports. It's reality. The only way these things don't occur is to win. So I don't shy from that responsibility, run from that responsibility. But I can tell you, I was not in the office on Monday. I wasn't on a conference call. I wasn't doing anything other than spending time with my family. And I didn't get in until just before the game. And, that was pretty much the end of it. Now, in terms of Edwin Encarnacion being benched, that was the perception that was out there. And look, I don't doubt, again, that maybe that was a perception of someone. And if that was, commented on, it's fair. If that's from a good source, I respect that, and that's completely fair. The facts were that we're playing 20 games in 20 days. We've talked a lot this year about trying to make sure we get our position players rest. It's something we wanted to try to be ahead of in 2015 more than we were in 2014. Gibby, I know, had looked to try to get Edwin a day, and the day that he picked was Scott Feldman's on the mound. Smoke, he wanted to get Smoke in there at some point in the next 20 games. Smoke was 5-for-11, I believe, with 2 home runs career, and he told Edwin the night before, look, we're giving you the day tomorrow. We're going to play Smoke. So Edwin was not going to play 20 straight games. The same way he's looking to always get Donaldson off his feet or give everybody a day. And we've talked about that as an organization. We have to try to really pick our spots and get our position players days off from time to time, especially when we have 20 games in a row, 18 games in a row. So there wasn't anything more to it than that.
I know that your office is near Beeston. So if you had a conversation with Beeston yesterday, it would have been a short one.
Our offices are side by side. I got in probably at, it was a scramble because I hadn't seen my kids in so long. So, and it was a day game again. I got home at midnight the night before. I got in at 12:45. I probably got upstairs at 10:01. And I gave Paul some real quick updates. And normally I wouldn't get into detail about our conversations day in and day out. But obviously today I need to because it's a story. I gave him real quick updates on Reyes, Batista, Saunders, just where things were that day, Travis as well. So that probably lasted all of 5 minutes, and then we got going. We're getting ready to start the game, and we were off. That was the end of it. And You can ask anybody on my street who saw me at noon with my daughter. And you can ask the attendants that saw me pulling at 12:45. So that was the end of it.
You know, Alex, you can understand, I mean, obviously a lot of people watching that road trip, you know, and coming back. I mean, there was a lot of disappointment about that road trip, not just among fans, but frankly, obviously among the clubhouse and management. And I've got to think ownership as well. But I mean, I've got to ask you, you know, look, we've seen a couple of managers fired now. You know, it's a thing to do in a lot of cases. It's a thing to do. What would be your guidelines? What would tell you that it was time to make a managerial change? And not, I'm talking in a general sense.
And I understand. And look, I completely get it as well. Once there's, just like anything else, if there's changes that are going on around the game, that sparks conversation and discussion. Again, especially when the team isn't playing well. I mean, before we went on the trip, I think everyone was feeling fairly good. The bullpen was starting to come around. And we had a good series against the Red Sox team was playing well. We had a good homestand. And it could change. It could change very fast. So, look, with respect to changes with staffing and things like that, I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I don't want to give too much on this because I don't even want to entertain that it's even something that's being considered or even talked about internally. But look, I can tell you this. Whenever it comes to staffing, I think in any walk of life, whether it's sports or in any industry, it's if you really feel that there's a direct correlation, if there's things that are going on that can't be addressed, if you know, things get going on that you really feel a need for that. I think like anything, just like you said, in sports, when things aren't going well, we want to see change. It goes without saying. A lot of times, it comes down to the performance of the players, like anything else. And a lot of players will tell you, look, you know, they're not having the years that they should have. They should be playing better. And ultimately, you have to decide what influence does a coach have? What influence does a general manager have? What influence does a manager have? And I can tell you, our rotation hasn't done as well as we've expected. But look, with all due respect to John Gibbons or anybody else, I'm not giving Gibby credit for Burley having the year he had last year. Because Mark Burley's been doing it for 14 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And the same way for R.A. leading our team in wins and innings for 2 years in a row. And the same, I guess in the same breath, for a six-week period, or actually, yeah, probably 5 to 6 weeks now, if guys are getting off to slow starts, the manager's not the one throwing the pitch, and especially with established guys. So, you know, the one thing, too, is that we've seen some changes. Like, Drew is starting to throw the ball a lot better. I feel pretty confident his ERA is going to come down below six. And I think Burley's starting to come around as well. And, look, RA did not have a good outing against the Astros. There's no way to hide that or avoid that. But at the same time, I know him and Pete have worked on some things, and they think they may have found something with his mechanics. And I expect him to be a lot better. So you just – I understand it's a long year. We say it all the time, and I know nobody wants to hear it. But it is amazing how quickly things can change. You lose five in a row. You win five in a row. The mood changes so fast. I mean, look, we were 13 games over 500, I believe, in late May or early June. And obviously that changed, and we were four over. So – in the same breath, things can change. You have to really stay consistent and stay even-keeled and not overreact to a six-game stretch or an eight-game stretch.
Hey, Alex, is it safe to say as well that before you would make a move, you would have to try to address the pitching yourself, wouldn't you? I mean, in fairness to John?
No doubt. I mean, I think with anything, I'm a firm believer that I think ultimately you're always going to look to make some adjustments on the roster. And look, no disrespect to Jeff Francis, but you know he had started out well with us. He hadn't been throwing the ball well lately. We make a change, and we can make a change there. And we made the adjustment. You know, we made the change with Norris, and I know his ERA looked good, but if you look at the peripherals and the innings pitched, we felt it was going to go in the wrong direction, and we felt we needed to be ahead of it and to do something a lot earlier. So. It's the same way with, you know, getting Ryan Tepera up here. He had been throwing the ball well down there, and we wanted to get him up here. And he was giving up two runs, but overall he's looked really good. He's throwing strikes. The cutter looks outstanding. The slider's good. He's been hit on the fastball a little bit. But, yeah, we'll mix and match with what we have internally. We'll look to make some trades. And I think it always starts there no matter what.
Yeah, Alex, Aaron Loop in the bullpen's been, I don't know how you say it, not very good, we can say. I've been the one guy that says he needs to be totally pitching against left-handers and not right-handers. You see him a lot up closer than I do on an everyday basis. In your words, what are you seeing from Aaron Loop?
Hey, you know what? I really thought Loopy had started to turn the corner before the Astros game when he came in the seventh inning. And look, and I understand Jason Castro broken bat, ball down the first base side. Look, all that being said, the numbers are the numbers, the performance is the performance. And even when he came in last night, giving up the home run as well. You know, the big thing for me in the comparisons of what he did last year to this current year was that walk rate was so much higher. I think it was 4 per 9 last year. And he was on a stretch where that walk rate was getting a lot lower. You know, I still think the stuff is outstanding, but there's no doubt his last two outings, he hasn't been sharp. After the game against the Astros, his back tightened up on him. He was not available for 2 days, I believe. And I believe that's resolved itself, and I don't think it's a problem at all. But, look, there's no doubt he's an important part of our pen. His ERA should not be in the fives, and we got to get him on track. His stuff is too good. He's got velocity. He's got sink. And he's just been inconsistent and, you know, getting the ball up instead of getting it down in the zone. And, you know, I think he can get hot at any time. I wish I had something to point to say he's got to tighten up a certain pitch, but it just seems to be command right now and just not hitting the spots.
Hey, Alex, what updates can you give us in the two Jose's, Reyes and Bautista?
Sure. I think with Reyes, he's going to take batting practice one more time with us was the plan. I see how he feels, but he's certainly moving in the right direction. And if that goes well, I would expect him to go on a rehab assignment by the weekend, I would expect, and maybe sooner, maybe by the end of the week, but certainly by the weekend I would expect him to go out. And with Bautista, I guess the encouraging part is that he finally threw in the cages to 40 feet, said he felt okay, he's not 100%, still felt a little bit in the back of his shoulder. But obviously it's gotten a lot better, the fact that he's throwing. And my understanding is he's going to throw again today. And talking to our trainers last night, the more he throws, the better it's going to get. He's going to start to work his arm back in shape. So in terms of a time frame, it's just so hard to tell because it's been longer than we all expected to begin with. And you just don't know how his body's going to recover. And, you know, the one thing with Jose is he does play through pain. He does normally heal very fast, and this is just something that's taken a little bit longer than we all expected. But the fact that he's finally throwing is definitely a step in the right direction, and hopefully he's going to throw again today as planned, and maybe this starts to come on quick and he's back sooner than we expect here in the next week or so, I would hope.
And I guess the other guy that a lot of people are keeping an eye on, Jeff Hoffman, takes the mound tomorrow, his first single-A game. This organization's got to be excited to see that. And, Alex, how fast can he come, do you think, through the organization?
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually heading down to Florida. I'm going to see a kid for the draft, and I'm actually going to get a chance to watch Jeff as well tomorrow night. So that'll be good to see him. Hopefully he gets to five innings. But I've only seen Jeff throw one time, and it was in extended spring training just before we left spring training. It was his first game, simulated game, I guess, against live hitters. And he was 97, 98. Outstanding curveball, didn't have his changeup that day, and just strikes and tremendous stuff. And I know our scouts were extremely high on him out of the draft, and that was the first look I got at him, and it was really exciting. And I know the last report I had, he went four innings, was 94 to 99, sat 96, and again, they said he was dominant and the stuff was outstanding. So I'm very excited about him. I don't want to put unrealistic expectations on him. But I do know you see some of the other guys out of that draft class, like Rodon with the Chicago White Sox, Fit Finnegan with the Kansas City Royals. And certainly when Jeff was healthy, our scouting reports had him absolutely with those two. And I know the industry seemed to have him with those guys. And those guys have already pitched at the big league level. So I wouldn't rule anything out. At the same time, we're not going to force anything. His health is going to be the number one priority. But if he performs well, he's going to make a start, like I said, tomorrow. If he performs well, we won't be afraid to have him move fast.
Yeah, Alex, what I like about Josh Donaldson is he has a little bit of fire in his belly. We saw that yesterday. He's I love it. I love what I saw from him yesterday. But would you like to, as a GM, would you like to see more of that from your entire team?
You know, I think Josh is fiery, no doubt about it. He's you know, the more you're around him, he's just unbelievable. He's, the work ethic is outstanding. He's a baseball rat. He talks the game. He wants to get better. He talks it. He's intense, and I like it. I agree with you, Clark. I mean, the intensity you see, what he brings is outstanding. But we've had plenty of other guys that are intense. Jose Bautista, obviously, can be very intense, and he can get locked in as well. I don't know that it's a prerequisite one way or the other. I mean, Martin's pretty intense. He may not show it the same way that Josh does, but I do think we have a collection of high-energy guys, guys that play every day, that post, that get after it, and they want to win. And not everybody expresses it the same way. I know Nick Markakis has got that type of reputation, and I got to know him a little bit with the Greek Olympic team, and he's as quiet and as introverted as they come, but he's a total pro, and he plays as hard as anybody. So being demonstrative doesn't necessarily mean that you care more than the next guy. That's just the way Josh chooses to express it, but I love it. It rubs off on his teammates, and he's all about winning, and you see him. What you see on the field, between the lines, same thing inside the clubhouse as well. That's all. He comes to win every day, and that's the number one concern that he has.